You're listening to Charlottesville's Podcasting Network. I'm Dan Gould. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call here on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. To mark the occasion, I talked with program host Rick Moore about the show's genesis, along with its current and future plans. Our interview took place at the studios of WPVC 94.7 on December 6, 2015. I began the interview with a bit of a confession.
First, I have to say I am humbled to be sitting on this side of the microphone across from someone whose considered and thoughtful interviews have given listeners so much for more than a decade. Rick, thanks so much for doing this.
Well, you're welcome, but I think humbled is a little excessive.
Shall we start at the beginning? What is the genesis, or what was the genesis, of the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call?
The genesis was luck. WNRN, a community radio station, needed FCC rules require that they have a 1 hour devoted to community topics and conversations, and my old friend Coy Barefoot was asked to do that radio show. Coy and I go back a long ways, and we had done some other projects together, public access television, et cetera. And I think after he did a couple shows, he asked me to come be his co-host. And then when he needed to leave the area for other projects, I happened to be there, and luck led me to be the guy to easily replace Coy in that process. So luck led me to do the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call.
And what year was that?
I have no idea. I'll say 1999, but that may not be true.
You remember who your first solo guest was?
I do not. I'm not sure I can remember who my guest was like a year ago today. I've reached the stage where a lot of those brain cells that your parents and teachers talk to you about killing in life have started to pop and die.
Now, 2015 marks the 10th anniversary of your association with the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. How did the program first come to be associated with CPN?
Sean Tubbs came to me and was talking about putting CPN together. And he was looking for material, no doubt, and wanted to know if I was willing to donate material. And I thought, well, you know, why not? That's what radio is all about, correct? I had the opportunity to put it out on the air. I already felt lucky just to have this hour behind the microphone. It was the carrot at the end of my work week, and the opportunity to have it recorded for all time so that my grandkids, et cetera, could hear it. It seemed so simple to do. It didn't require me to do anything more than continue what I was doing. It was something that Sean Tubbs wanted to make happen. Yes, Sean, please, I'll be glad to help. What do you need me to do?
And did you ever go back and listen to some of those early episodes to see how the program's evolved?
You know, and I'm sure almost everyone can say this, I don't like the way I sound. Whether it's an old-fashioned answering machine, whether you're listening to yourself now recorded on your iPhone, no, I really don't. I have done that in the past a few times for specific needs, where I needed to go back and find some old information for something I was doing, a show that I needed to re-listen to for some specific data. Old times at WNRN when we were putting together something for the Fun Drive show, where I would play bits and pieces of earlier shows, and let me play a segment here from something that I really liked that we did in the past year, something like that. But just to go back and sit and put my feet up on the chair and listen to myself talk, no.
All right. Now, over the years, you've interviewed a wide range of guests, from psychics to politicians and pretty much everything in between. How do you go about selecting the guests for your program?
I like how you put psychics to politicians. I'm not sure that they always fall at the opposite end of the spectrum. I pick the topic and the guest because it has to interest me, and that's really what it boils down to. I decided very early on that I wanted the show to be 1 hour devoted to the topic or the guest. I wanted to gather as much information, as much conversation as possible about whatever we were going to discuss. It wasn't going to be 5-minute segments, 10-minute segments. And so the material has to interest me enough that I can talk about it for 60 minutes. And so whether I'm reading an article somewhere, whether I hear it in a news story, whether it's a conversation that I have with a friend, it has to create that itch in my head that I know that I can talk about that for 60 minutes with somebody else. And it needs to be something that I want to learn about. It's not just something that I can state my personal beliefs about, because I try not to do the show that way. My goal has never been to be the Rush Limbaugh host where I stand there and rant for an hour. It's bring somebody else in, let them talk about the topic. There are occasions when I may have an opportunity to state my thoughts and beliefs on it. But for the most part, I'm the guy on the street who knows just enough to ask some questions.
And are you ever surprised by a guest? You think a guest is going to talk about a certain topic in a certain way, and they get here and it's like a whole different ballgame? Does that ever happen?
Well, there have been plenty of times when the guest takes me down a different path. And then there are some guests. I had a guest on just a few weeks ago here at, you know, the new version of Wake Up Call on WPVC, Carolyn Engelhard, where we talk about Affordable Care Act. And she makes it quite clear that her goal for her students at UVA is to talk about the Affordable Care Act and / Obamacare in a manner that the students can't identify whether she's for or against it. And so I always find that fascinating, to get the expert on the topic, especially something that is somewhat biased, and find this person to be able to talk about it in an unbiased manner. But yeah, there's plenty of people who come on who kind of throw me for a loop with, what say that again? What did you say? I hear that, I won't say all the time, but certainly numerous times.
Now, without mentioning any names, have you ever had a guest on which you swore you'd never have back?
I will say that I learned early on that I should always have lots and lots of material. I always tell folks that I try and have 70 minutes of material for 60 minutes worth of show, because it only takes the one guest to go, yes, no, not really, for a handful of questions, and you burned through everything that you thought was going to take 10 or 15 minutes with hopefully a somewhat, interesting conversation, because that guest got nervous, or it wasn't the type of guest that you thought you had via the email exchange. And so, yes, there are a few guests that I've decided not to have on again, but almost always for that reason, not because of anything they said that I disagreed with or anything like that. It's because of what I found to not be a good 60-minute conversation.
So it sounds like you're kind of editing the program in real time. I mean, you know, you're watching the clock, I suppose, and you say, I have 10 minutes left and five topics. I've got to kind of work those in. Is that how it works?
I always walk out of the studio with more material that we never got to discuss. We're doing this after a show today, and I put my notes away, but there are a good half dozen questions that we never got to today. Some of them, if I sit down and look at them, were questions that I'm going to go, oh, man, I really wanted to get into that. And some that I had in there, I don't want to say that they were filler material, but they were sort of tangents to other questions that I could go back to and say, you know, earlier we were talking about this, so let me follow up with this question now. And sometimes it works well into the conversation, sometimes it doesn't. So yes, do I wing a lot of things on the fly? Yes, I do. That's sort of my, I try and be as prepared as possible with material. I do my homework. But within the hour, I try and set up a starting point, and then it's wherever the conversation takes us.
And can you talk a little bit about the process of preparing the show, the research? What is it that you do in order to come up with that core set of questions that you hope will fill 60 plus 10 minutes?
It goes back to that itch that gets in my brain for the topic itself. I start there. What did I hear on the radio, the news story, the article that I read that made me want to talk to somebody about this more? So then I read about it, and I just generate questions. If I'm having Dan on from Charlottesville Podcasting Network, something has created the interest to do that. So I'm listing my questions as they come up to me. Regularly, the shows are scheduled in advance. So once the show is scheduled, I finish today's show on Sunday. And so once Monday gets here, I look at my notes, what's next Sunday's show? And it percolates in the back of my brain. And so whether that when the question pops into my head that I write on my note in the car as I'm driving, or I, you know, send myself an email or an instant message about. But I'll also, if it's a university professor who's written a book or something like that, I'll read the material. I mean, I call it my homework. I have to do my homework, but I'm not the fourth grader who doesn't want to do their homework on fractions, because I wanted to do the show, so I find it interesting to be prepared.
What kind of media does Rick Moore read during the week that creates that itch?
I listen to NPR. I go online and just poke through the news. I read Seville Weekly. I used to love to read The Hook. Sorry that newspaper disappeared off the Charlottesville weekly screen. Other than NPR as a daily format, other than that, I think I really just look for the headlines or listen to see what's in the news and go from there. My friends know that I'm looking for things, and they'll say, hey, did you see this? And I tell them, you're always welcome to send me material. You just can't be upset if I don't do a show about it.
And when you're looking through headlines, are you looking for mostly topics of local interest or national interest, or some mix of both?
I think you can do both. But I think that the national topic has to always have at least a question or two that affects the local crowd. I mean, a recent show was about the national political scene. Well, I don't think there was a question that had anything to do with Charlottesville, but obviously that topic affects the Charlottesville Albemarle crowd. So I didn't have to say to the guest, how do you think the Charlottesville crowd is going to vote? But there are other topics. We did a show recently on International Rescue Center. Well, certainly immigration in turn, what prompted that show had to do with Syria, the Paris bombings, etc. And while a big chunk of the conversation has to do with what's going on the national immigration scene and people talking about not letting Syrians and Iraqis come to the United States, even as refugees, there's a format and a basis for that conversation because there's an IRC office here in Charlottesville, because we have a number of refugees coming to the city of Charlottesville and Albemarle County. So I think that there always has to be a nugget, a local nugget into the conversation, no matter how grandiose the topic.
And what can you say about the demographics of your guests themselves? Are they generally local, maybe not local? Are they conservative, liberal? What is there a pattern there anywhere, or are you open to really anybody?
I would say that the guests are always local. At previous show at WNRN, because the station reached out into Richmond and down to Lynchburg and over the mountain into Harrisonburg, I got guests to drive to the station for that with enough notice and the proper, you know, begging. You can get people to come and do that. I was told, although as I said earlier, I tried not to be too personal in my statements. I was led to believe that my interests, the topics that we covered, were a little more left-wing. I don't know that that happened on every Sunday, but if you go back and look at a year's worth of topics, and you want to see that we invited guests on from the James River Association, and then from, it just seems as though I can see where that comes from. A little more democratic political viewpoint in terms of the topics. But that's not every Sunday.
So a decade plus of programs, that's a lot of program shows. I was wondering if you could recall any of the lighter or funnier moments of things that happened in the studio, perhaps unexpectedly.
You're asking me to relive some of those dead brain cells again. I'll tell you this, because it's the holiday season when we're doing this. Nothing comes to mind immediately on lighter or, because we always try and have a good time. The goal is not to be sad, although real life sometimes steps into what you're doing on Sunday. I mean, my dog passed away and I still had to get up on Sunday and do the show. That's the kind of thing happens. But some of my favorite times, I love to do the Christmas show, where Santa comes to visit and makes phone calls out to kids so that Santa can talk to them and make sure that the kids know that he's still watching, but Christmas is almost here, and let's check up on the Christmas list and make sure that he has the right toys down for them for when he's coming in two or three nights. And it's so fun to hear the kids go, "I love you, Santa," or to get so excited by that. That's the kind of thing that I really like doing. It's great to talk to somebody about their specialty, about the Affordable Care Act, or about Alzheimer's, or the professor who wrote the book on the effect of media in the 21st century. But to hear Santa call these kids and get that sort of true open relationship and the emotions going with that, that's really cool.
Now in the past, you've had some call-in shows where listeners can call in and ask yourself or the guest, I suppose, questions. Has anything gone drastically wrong during a call-in?
Well, there have certainly been a couple of times when I hung up on somebody. I would always tell folks that, you know, there's that old George Carlin seven dirty words you can't say. You have to be polite to the guest. And it didn't happen very often. But certainly in that number of times, that number of shows, somebody might say one of the dirty words and it's just click, thank you for your call, but try again when you're not quite so amped up. Or somebody who disagreed. You know, we would do shows on legalization of pot, and somebody would call in and talk about how we were just destroying America. And these people were, and I'm not going to get into saying the bad words, but if it's a political topic that you don't agree with, you can call in and make your statement as to why you disagree. You can ask a question in a format and ask to have the guest answer it in the way that you want, or trying to lead them down. But you can't call them a jerk or, you know, in that nasty format. And so in those ways, yes, we've had problems, but it's such a rarity. As I always say, if the show is between 11 and 12 o'clock, there's a large number of people who are going to get too worked up about some of our topics or at church.
Now, the program has recently found a new home on WPVC 94.7. How did that come about?
We spent a long time at WNRN, and the show ran its course there before I was really ready for it to end its time. But life happens. And after 6 or 7 months, the folks at WPVC called me up, Mike Friend, who was at WNRN and actually gave me my original opportunity there, called me up and said, we're putting together some programs here at WPVC. We'd like you to come down so we can talk about making this, making the changeover happen. So I did. I came down. I talked to him. I had had 6 months off of Sundays. And so I knew what I liked about that, but I also knew what I missed about the radio station. So between Mike Friend and Jeff Leonard, here at WPVC, and myself, we were able to come up with making it happen. And Sean McCord, who used to be the producer for, I'll say, 3 years for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call at NRN, and he helped make it happen at the new station here at 94.7, because he agreed to work for me once a month so that I could have brunch or sleep in or etc. Some of the things that I enjoyed from that 6 month time period off.
And is presenting your program out of WPVC, has the program changed at all between its original WNRN days, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, you know, we've only been doing it for not even quite 2 months yet. At this point, everybody that I've had on was a guest at WNRN. So I tell them the format is the same. It's an hour program. It's, you know, very similar in conversation and style and the questions, et cetera, et cetera. I think for me, the biggest change that may change itself is that we're still working on getting more microphones. So far, it's one-on-one. And for some of the topics that we mentioned earlier, and how do you pick the topics and the guests, there are some topics that I don't think I could make work if I didn't have two or three people. And so we'll need to add that microphone grouping here at WPVC before I'm convinced that there are some topics out there that I could make work. But it's been really fun. It's nice to be here. It's nice to be back doing the show again. It keeps me up to date. My girlfriend said she thinks it makes me more intelligent. I don't think she said it quite that way, but that's how I took it.
And how do you see the program's future?
You know, I don't know that I have a good answer for that. I'm somebody who often gets stuck in routine, and so I think that that the future of the program will be determined by people who send me suggestions, send me things that they think I can do to make it better or to change it, or topics or guests. So the format of the show, or the future of the show, hopefully will be me showing up on Sundays and enjoying myself with guests who are thankful that they took the time to come out. And as far as making the show better in the future, I'll need to have some help from listeners and friends and family.
So you're still a young guy, Rick. Are you any idea as to how much longer you're going to do this?
No. I'll do it until it's no longer enjoyable, or until WPVC decides that they need to do something else.
And any last thoughts about the program before we go?
Any last thoughts about the program? No last thoughts.
Rick, thanks so much for joining us today and for a decade of sharing your wonderful programs with the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
Well, Dan, you're welcome. Again, I'm happy to do it, but it doesn't take me anything. There's no extra for me. I just come in on Sunday and do my thing. You guys do all the work about putting it up for people to listen to.
All right. Thanks again. For CPN, I'm Dan Gould.